Meandering in the margins of medicine, it's the Short Coat Podcast.
Weird news,
fresh views,
helpful clues and interviews.
By students, for students.
Subscribe to our weekly show at theshortcoat.com.
It's the Short Coat Podcast. I'm Dave Etler, and I'm here with Alex Volkmar.
Hi, Dave.
I'm here with Mark Torral.
Yo.
I'm here with
Dylan Todd.
Hi. You for a loop.
And I'm here with Emily White.
Hi.
It's the end of another long week. I kind of lost it. Welcome back to the show. You guys, this is exciting.
Is it?
What's exciting?
This is exciting. Remember back in March, episode 69? Episode 69, back in March, there is an Italian neurosurgeon who promises to do a head transplant. Mm. Well, he's picked a date, December of 2017, and he's picked a patient. There seems to be some confusion about the status of the patient as donor or recipient, because for some reason, the head transplant. It's not a head transplant.
It's body transplant. It's
a body transplant. Yeah. Stop it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, how is that confusing? Because whoever donates the head's the donor. Right?
What's
the
difference? You define yourself by the stuff that's in your head.
Yeah, though. I am up here.
Either way, you're moving.
So it's a recipient of a body transplant.
Yeah.
That's what we should call it.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it would be,
you need a new body. The head's working.
I see the confusion, but at the same time, and I guess I've had several months to think about it, but still, it's a body transplant, I think. Anyway, Russian computer scientist Valery Spiridonov will have his head put on a donor's body. He's a victim of Wernicke-Hoffmann disease, which I gather is a rare genetic spinal muscular atrophy, and he's pretty excited to be taking part in this. Says he feels like he has been preparing for something important all his life, and it is starting to happen. So there you go. The procedure should last 36 hours. It'll take 2 years to plan, obviously. And if all goes well, we should have a whole new frontier. I keep reading, though, and this is, by the way, the first article I found was from Fox News, so I'm not really, I'm not really putting too much stock in it, but I keep reading this idea that, they don't know if there will be personality changes or other fundamental changes to who he is. I mean,
that's a very interesting question. I wouldn't think there would be, but there's a lot we don't know.
If you're all up here, although we have, I've been hearing more about the what do they call it? The brain in your gut.
Enteric nervous system.
So who knows, right? That seems unlikely.
Well, I think your microbiome has a strong effect on your mood. Mm-hmm. So if the body that's being donated to this man is very sad, sadder or happier, depending on. Yeah. Oh,
so I was just confusing the transplant. Yes, he's getting another person's body. God, even I am doing it.
I could use
just
a body to wrap your head around.
Not quite sure what makes them think it'll so work. Confident it'll work.
Yeah.
It seems like there's a lot of.
Seems like we're skipping some steps here.
Yeah,
I could use a body that's better at foundations.
Yeah. Or a new body or head? Yeah. Here we go again.
Good luck to them both. I think it will be fascinating to find out what happens. It's all a little bit strange.
Mm-hmm. 2 years, though, planning.
You need a lot of planning.
Is anyone making an uproar about this? Because if people are mad about playing God at end of life, or really we do that at the beginning of life too with neonates, putting someone else's head on a body, I'd feel like some people would be freaking out. And if not, they're kind of hypocritical. If they're
I'm sure going. Somebody's upset by it. Somebody somewhere.
Definitely someone is upset by it.
I'm not certain. I think maybe our podcast is the only people actually paying attention to this.
Maybe.
Because I haven't heard too much about the ethical implications. But a long way to go there.
do they know who the body donor is yet? I mean, I guess it's 2 years out.
So. I don't think.
I hope not. But it's Russia, so.
That would be awkward. I can imagine, like, why do you keep looking at me? Looking at me very strangely. Speaking of microbiomes, I'm sorry, Emily, since you're sitting next to me, I probably just got some of my microbiome on you.
Why is that?
Okay. So we've known,
all friends here.
Yeah. And also Dylan has gotten his on you, and Mark has gotten his on you, and Alex. It's everywhere. Apparently, we've known for a long time that people leave their germies everywhere by touching things and whatever. And we knew that microbes from occupants in new houses can be detected within a matter of days. So if you move into a brand new home that's never been occupied before, it'll be a very short time before your biome becomes a part of that, mm-hmm. that house.
That makes sense.
Now, researchers have found that if you lock somebody in a sterile room, the person in that room emits a cloud of germs, just like throws it off from his or her body. And it's a very individual cloud. In fact, you can determine who is in that room by analyzing the cloud of cooties that they're emitting. So if you're a germaphobe,
bad place to live.
That is a real problem for you. You can't avoid them. I'm spewing germs right now. Just think about it. Your families, your coworkers, your strangers are constantly exuding.
I love it.
We're going to be doctors, and we're going to get lots of microbiomes on us. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love it. I have no qualms.
No problem.
If you're a germaphobe, though, it's basically you're afraid of the whole planet Earth.
Yeah.
I'm just thankful
because microbes are everywhere, so you're just afraid of the whole planet.
I don't think a real germaphobe is especially rational about the things.
No, I know.
Because, you know, like, you see people like, I don't touch the handle of the door with anything other than my elbow.
Like a handkerchief.
and yet they're like, you know, pawing keyboards and, you know, picking up. So, you know, it's a little bit odd. I can't wait to tell people I know who are germaphobes. I cannot wait.
To give them an anxiety attack.
Oh, I know several. I know several people. I know people in OSAC who are, germaphobes. Cannot wait.
They're just gonna see you differently. They're just gonna see you as a cloud now. Oh, there he is again.
Pig pen.
Start wearing those masks.
Did I just date myself? Do you guys not watch Peanuts cartoons?
Oh. I have. Mostly
the Did you peanutize yourself the other day?
What's that?
There was a thing you could peanutize yourself and like yourself a little peanut cartoon.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you do it?
Well, I didn't have my hair color in the one hairstyle that like matched my hair. So
you tried.
I tried.
I think I'm in a Facebook slump right now. So
yeah.
I've seen these things. Doesn't mean I don't go and look at Facebook, but I'm not posting as much. But anyway, I see these Peanuts things, and I've had zero desire to do it. And usually, I have every desire to do whatever it is that people on Facebook are doing. You know, to take every quiz, to just click on things. I've said this before, to just click on things that people are posting. And lately...
Not feeling it?
I don't know.
Don't you want to know what Disney princess you are?
Yeah. I know what Disney princess
I already know. I already took that quiz.
A little bit of a slump there. But I'll live.
Yeah, somehow.
I don't know what else.
Some way.
By the way, it's just going to be almost a full-on news things that I found in my news feed.
Sweet. Bring them on.
This week, because that's easy. RetroSense Therapeutics has been given FDA approval to begin human trials of basically injecting a light sensitive green algae protein that has restored sight to blind mice into humans. So basically they squirt it into your retina. I gather that somehow the ganglion cells, it bypasses the rods and cones and just hooks directly up to the ganglion cells. And now those cells can begin to fire and it's worked in the past for mice, so why shouldn't it work with people, right?
What disorder?
Whatever disorder might... It didn't say.
Oh. Yeah. Blindness.
That would be helpful.
Are there disorders that you
this
can think
bad,
of?
This is bad journalism.
Oh, there's plenty of disorders.
Yeah.
I would assume anything that eliminates your...
Yeah, macular degeneration, retinitis pigmentosa.
Right. Human trials are expected to begin on 15 patients by the end of the year. And the same protein, by the way, is found to make gentle mice more aggressive.
Oh.
Stops obsessive behaviors like grooming. And apparently enables the implementation of false memories in mice. So,
wow.
I think this sounds awesome.
So it's
I have no idea how any of that other stuff happens.
Photosynthetic algae? Is that what you said
it's
it was?
It's a photosensitive protein derived from green algae.
Like a channel reduction?
Yeah, they're not squirting algae into your eyeball. That would kind of.
And they're, I don't know, I'll need to read up on this. There's some details I'd like to know.
Is it just general vision or is it like color blindness? Or?
So the only mention of color they made in this article that I read was that they expect there to be some color blindness, but that the brain would somehow adapt.
Mm-hmm. Do you know if they're delivering it with... I mean, they say just squirt it into your
I'm sure there's a scientific method that they're going to use.
You're probably going to need a needle.
I don't know. Should we use this needle or this Nerf gun? You know, like which one should we use? Let's use the sciencey one because that sounds better on the ground.
Do you know if it's delivered via virus?
I don't think so.
I'll need to look because that's
literally it was just like injecting it into the retina, but.
I don't know how well you can do that. Yeah. But
it does seem, because it would be that would
what
be
they,
very local.
What they usually do is they, because I mean, the eye has been a really good candidate for gene therapy. Mm. So, how you do that is you have a little virus that goes and essentially infects cells with its ability to make something else or fix some gene correction.
Why is the eye particularly good?
Actually, the eye, it's easy because you can access it pretty well.
Okay.
It is subject to physiological amplification. So what that means is that a single cell that takes in a photon will activate maybe 10 cells, which will each activate 10 more cells. So a small change, and you're really only seeing small changes with gene therapy because it's so inefficient right now, gets amplified. So it's a great test system. And then, I mean, really, there's a number of genetic diseases that affect the eye. So there's quite a few reasons.
What immunoprivileged, like, because the eye's
it's also immune privileged, which
so,
is
like,
a big
it
thing.
It wouldn't attack the virus in there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the viruses they're using.
Hide.
I'm not sure. There's a bunch of different viruses they're using, but they can use some that don't generate an immune response.
They're not immunogenic. Vectors. So.
Mm-hmm. It's my phone ringing in the background, and I can guarantee you that it's about MSPEs. And I'm excited.
Your one true love.
I'm excited to not be answering MSPEs. It right now. Medical student performance evaluations for the M4s.
Not there yet.
I'm almost done with them, and it's at a fever pitch right now. But I did not tell my coworkers that I'm going to take an hour and a half off to podcast because they'd be like,
Were you telling us that you can? You can fix the grammar in there, but leave the content in those?
Yes.
All right, good. Because I read one, and it was like maybe like sixth grade writing level. But the content was great. So like, you can keep that.
I'll do my best to make people sound like they know how to write words on paper. congratulations to the Ig Nobel Prize winners of 2015. This year we've learned many scientific nuggets. And frankly, there's no better time than now for the world to find these things out. We all need a little more knowledge, I think, right? Well said.
Pretty packed.
Well
right
said,
now.
Emily.
Oh, jeez.
The chemistry prize goes to some folks from Australia for their chemical recipe for unboiling an egg.
Very interesting. That doesn't sound Ig Nobel.
No, but I think It's pretty cool. I can't really describe it because I have no idea what I'm looking at.
Okay, getting the proteins to not...
Untangling the proteins, I guess.
Getting it, because you denature it.
Actually retangling them, really.
Yeah, right.
Is that what it is?
Denaturing, I mean, because proteins have their little three-dimensional twisty form.
Okay.
And then they turn into kind of like just a straight string when they're denatured.
Yeah.
And then they reassemble into their conformation when they're functional. Yeah.
I'm just wondering how it would taste.
Oh, the egg?
Yeah, that's a good question. Did like they taste test it?
If you unboiled the egg and then reboiled it.
Yeah. Eggs were subsequently placed in subjects' mouths. Six chews were administered.
The literature prize goes to... I'm not sure if I'm going to pronounce this right, so I'm not going. He's discovered that the world seems... that the word, huh... seems to exist in every human language.
No.
Or in most human languages.
As does confusion. No, but that's interesting that comes up.
The management prize goes to Gennaro... Okay, no. For discovering that that children who survived natural disasters in their childhoods, but for whom there were a few dire consequences... developed into very good business leaders.
Hmm. Oh,
so there you go.
Can deal with conflict.
Yeah, I guess so. Overcome adversity. Yeah. Business leaders like to talk about overcoming the storm.
So basically, what you're saying, Dave, is like something terrible happened to these children, but nothing actually happened to them. Yeah, like it just happened.
They were around terrible things, but they weren't damaged themselves.
Yeah, it's like an earthquake happened, and all the buildings collapsed except their house.
Yes.
Yes. And it was fine.
And they're now the CEO of Volkswagen.
Can children who learn about conflict and things like that also become CEOs then?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Like if they're around conflict, could you just learn about conflict as a child and then...
Maybe.
Absolutely not.
Impossible. After childhood experience.
The medicine prize, clearly the most important, was awarded to two groups, one from China, one from Slovakia, for experiments that determine the biological consequences of intense smooching and other intimate activities. So we might as well unpack this one a little bit.
Intense.
Japanese.
Define intense.
Yeah.
Okay, come here.
Staring into each other's eyes for 10 minutes first.
Yes.
Then you won't know who you're kissing.
Good reference back to the previous show. Before,
continuity.
So these were Japanese subjects. They were put into a room for 30 minutes with their lovers or spouses with the doors closed while listening to soft music. Before and after smooching, they did some skin tests with various commercial allergens.
Is that the scientific term?
Yes. Skin test?
The smooching.
They did some smooching. Before and after smooching, they did skin tests with various commercial allergens, and their skin wheel responses were measured. Wheel being not
yeah,
you guys know what wheel is. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure. Were measured, and also they did some plasma levels of neurotrophic nerve growth factor, brain derived neurotrophic factor, and neurotrophin 3 and 4 were also measured. So skin
plasma
responses,
levels,
I guess, yes. Skin responses by the commercial allergens were reduced. But not those caused by histamines, and they decrease plasma levels of nerve growth factors, brain-derived neurotrophic factors, and T3 and 4. So I have no response. I have no idea what any of that means.
It decreased the nerve growth stuff, the trophic factors?
Yes.
After the smooching?
After the smooching, yeah.
Oh.
And they reduced the like allergy response in people?
I guess.
Did they? I wonder what their control was.
They had people sitting in a room by themselves.
Yeah, see, they should have had someone at least doing an activity, because I wonder if just like not sitting there thinking about being exposed to an allergen.
Yeah.
I mean, allergies are mostly psychological, as we know.
I know, and if you're like kissing your lover, you're like probably not thinking about it as much.
Mm. Allergens aren't psychological.
I know,
it's
very funny.
I was like...
We totally...
Yeah, I just completely dismissed you.
Yeah, we totally took it very seriously.
Sorry.
You just destroyed a whole bunch of learning.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's a psychological component to allergies.
Stop trying to cover up for him. It's not right.
It's probably a psychological component.
I actually shadowed an hour just before I started medical school, and he said, like, there are allergies, and then there are... allergies.
Yeah. You mean like to gluten?
Yeah.
I only eat gluten when I'm alone. It's a really funny video. I'm kidding. I eat all the time.
So yeah. I love the Ig Nobel Prizes. I think they're lovely. I think you two in particular should aim for an Ig Nobel Prize.
Every day of my life.
I would love to be able to one day report
yeah.
that Dylan
Former Todd, podcaster.
Dylan Todd and Mark Terrell et al.
Won an Ig Nobel.
Why can't we win a Nobel Prize?
These guys are all into research.
At all.
You were into research, too. I forgot. Emily is
not an MSTP, but...
Emily's a big researcher. Alex, are you?
No.
No, okay. I'm trying to guess your specialty.
Can you get a Nobel Prize for qualitative research,
I'm trying to predict your specialty.
A Nobel Prize?
Let me know.
You know, you should do, like, some type of, like, ritual... And like with candles, and then write down what comes to you when you're thinking about his name. Put it in an envelope, seal it with wax, and then
there
just
you go.
Like in 4 years, you'll reveal it, and everyone will be like,
"Wow!"
And then you can get your career as a psychic started or ruined.
Yes. We'll put it in this match envelope. Yeah.
Awesome. Oh man. Speaking of match, they should have a sorting hat. That would be really fun.
Oh yeah. It's a big opportunity. In not going to see Alvin Roth a couple weeks ago. He's the creator of the match, and he was here to talk about that and his work with kidney matching. And I think did I talk about this on the last show? I can't remember. Corey and I actually went, and it was pretty interesting.
When was this?
A couple weeks ago. He came to as part of the, what was it,
distinguished biomedical
lecturers.
Yeah.
He's actually an economist, so it was, he's even more interesting.
He designed the residency match?
He designed the residency match. Before that, there were all sorts of problems with the residency match, including a lack of trust among the participants and all these kinds of things that meant that, when jobs were being offered to physicians, there were all these exploding offers where, you know, you got to decide right now. And if you don't decide right now, I'm going to give it to somebody else. Okay, bye. And so he created this system where, you know, trust was baked into the system so that it was hard not to trust.
Gotcha.
And the same thing for kidney matches. You know, if you, so a single kidney match is pretty easy. You know, you've got a donor and you've got a recipient. The problem with that is that you don't get very many kidney transplants done. So they've started doing these chain donations. And one thing that these chain donations rely on is an absolute level of trust. So, you know, so if I'm going to give my kidney to you because somebody in your life wants to give you a kidney but can't, that person can give a kidney to Mark, somebody in Mark's life who would be a donor for him but can't can give a kidney to Dylan, but and on down the line. But if anywhere in that chain, if there's a break anywhere in that chain, then, or, you know, so say if somebody else backs out or they get hit by a bus or something like that, then my kidney, which went to you, like, you're in good shape, but Marcus, whose donor got hit by a bus, is kind of screwed, you know. So
but how can you, like, control if you're hit by a bus?
No, you can't. I mean, but at the same time, so the key thing I left out was that they all have to happen at exactly the same time. So everybody has to be all lined up, ready to go in operating rooms across the country.
Gotcha.
So that everybody's safe and ready to go. So that was one of the key elements. Mm. But anyway, pretty cool.
And this is what he's working on?
This is what he has done. He won a Nobel Prize for this, for the kidney matching thing.
Oh, okay.
Oddly, he did not win the Nobel Prize for the residency matching. So he's a pretty cool guy. We'll be back in just a second on the Short Code Podcast. I have a special treat on the Short Code Podcast for you guys. First of all, I want you to take a number. Just take a number.
Yeah, I was wondering when you were going to use these.
Take a number. This has nothing to do with medicine, but the story is that I was at home Friday.
Oops, I took two.
That's all right. I was at home Friday of last week after the show. I was feeling very warm and fuzzy about the podcast and about my fellow podcasters. And while that feeling was coursing through my veins, I ran across a novelty website where you could buy novelty items, basically. Mm. And one of them in particular spoke to me, and so I bought some. And so each of you have a number. and I will dispense the novelty to you.
Oh.
So what do you have, Emily?
Three.
There we go. It's a lovely color, I think.
Wow.
Oh, no. I know exactly what
do you, what number do you have?
Number five.
What, seven?
Five. I don't even know what these are at this
you
point.
Don't.
I have, I don't remember. I've covered up the labels. Covered up the labels.
Oh, Jesus.
All those are numbers.
That's...
Mark?
I'm number one.
Oh, I'm scared. Yeah.
I think I know which one that is.
I don't know what that
Alex?
Means.
I'm four.
Four, so that's you.
Poison.
What is this?
It is not, to my knowledge, poison. I have number two. And somewhere...
I know exactly what this is.
Oh my god, you do?
I do. It's fine.
Am I going to be okay?
No, you're fine.
I won't be okay.
No, you're fine.
So the object here is to guess what it is you're drinking.
Yours actually looks the most tasty.
Yeah.
So let's start with you, Emily. Yeah, hers does look the most tasty. It's a twist off, I think.
You gotta want it. Maybe it's not.
Maybe yours is not. Maybe yours.
They don't hurt.
The white caps. This came off. Do you want me to try it?
Yeah. Aw. Muscle wasting.
Yeah, you might want to look into a hedgehog's
plant. Smells fine.
Are we allowed to smell them?
I smelled it.
You can smell them. So, Emily, yours is orange.
Yeah, I smelled that.
What do you.
I don't want to drink
Should
this.
Should I taste it?
What do you smell? When you...
Orange, citrus.
Okay. I want to apologize to our viewers. This has nothing to do with medicine. I think I said that, but
there's something I can't.
Like I said, I don't care. What do you got? Yours is sort of brown.
Yeah, mine is brown.
Brown. I'm colorblind, so.
It doesn't. I can't. I don't know what it smells like. That's not familiar.
<There's>
always an excellent sign.
So mine is pretty white. It smells pretty gross. It smells like popcorn.
No, eh?
That's gone bad.
Okay.
Mine's also orange, but it's a little darker orange than Emily's. It smells...
It's kind of a burnt orange.
Kind of like, I don't know.
An umber?
Kind of like a cream soda, but not quite.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I don't know what color mine is.
Pink?
Sort of
grapefruit?
Yeah.
Yours is carbonated, Dylan.
Is mine not?
They're all carbonated.
Yeah, mine was.
Okay.
Is mine?
So we should drink.
Mine just smells sweet, maybe a little.
We should drink at the same time.
Yeah. Okay. One.
Okay, ready? One, two, three.
Cheers.
Oh. Better than it smells.
What does this taste like? This tastes like something I've had before. But not in like a liquid form.
Yeah.
A little bit better than it smells.
Are we all healthy?
I know what mine is, yeah.
We trade bottles?
I don't know what mine
I'll
is.
I'll trade you.
Okay.
Here, pass it to your left there.
That's
we
my
just,
right.
We just finished talking about germs.
Yeah.
Well.
Oh, I don't know what yours smells like, Don.
Oh.
I know what it is, though.
Chocolate?
Oh, this has a sort of a cinnamon.
Oh, I don't like this one. I don't like this one at all.
Okay.
I
know what this one is.
Is it Fanta?
I don't like this one. This is.
I have an advantage because I saw.
Yeah, I don't like that at all. Here, wait for this one.
Oh yeah, butter.
Oh, this tastes like cinnamon.
Yeah.
It's like cinnamon.
This one's pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay, that's gross.
Told you.
Oh, that one's awful.
Told you it was gross.
That one's awful.
Does someone
this
like
this one kind of stings your mouth after?
Oh, that smells horrible. Do I have to drink this?
Yes,
You have to.
It tastes a little better.
God.
No, I promise you it tastes a little better than it smells. Not a lot.
Oh! Oh, that's awful.
It's very unexpected.
I hate that.
I think you might like this one more.
This one's like,
oh my gosh,
like bubblegum.
Never again.
I like
the bubblegum one.
Oh, this is awful. I can't do that one.
I think Emily here has more sensitive taste buds than the
rest
of
us. Oh my god.
Yeah, Emily's like writhing.
Literally twice.
Do you want to take a break before
Is
you,
that mine?
I think this is yours, actually.
Then I, well,
like, oh,
where's
good.
The cinnamon one?
Oh, this is cinnamon.
Let
you
me
like
wash, wash out whatever
yeah.
I just had because
I
I'm going to throw
I like the
up.
Cinnamon one, yeah.
Yeah.
This one's not bad either. Who had two?
That's a lot
yeah,
better.
Yeah, that one, the bubblegum
Two's
one.
Good,
it's
yeah.
not mine.
Two's
I think
one.
Dave had that one.
Of course
oh,
he gave
God.
Himself number two.
Yeah. I did not.
These papers were weighted.
That you wrote down on papers. Okay, well, I
can get that one back.
Dave, where did you get these?
Four.
So this is Cool Ranch or some type of ranch. So can we unveil them?
Yeah, let's unveil.
But let's all. Does anyone else think it's some type of ranch?
Should we go in the order that we drank?
That just.
All right. So who's number one?
I guess I got to start.
Let's go number one.
All right, I'm number one. I'm unwrapping it.
No,
and it
nailed
is
it.
Ranch dressing soda.
Excellent.
And it is. Uh-oh. Nobody panic. It is disgusting.
No, you're good. You're still recording.
I know.
There it is.
Yes, ranch dressing.
That's gross. Oh, wait. Yeah, y'all get your fixins. Mm-hmm. I don't know what fixin I was missing.
Oh, gosh.
I'm number two.
We don't recommend that one. I'd give it one out of.
One out of eight.
Actually, I'd
give it five out of five Emily White barfings.
Oh, literally.
Minus peanut butter and jelly.
That was good. Oh, I like that.
That was.
That didn't taste
pretty
like
good.
Peanut
it
butter.
It tastes
jelly
like bubblegum to me.
I don't know whether. I can't remember what it tasted like.
Yeah, I think it tastes like peanut butter and jelly. It lacks a peanut butter taste.
Yeah.
My turn.
Your turn.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm getting rid of your nice wrapped.
Yeah, it took me. It literally took
me. Oh, God. What is it? Buffalo? This doesn't taste like that at all.
No, but it does sting your mouth after.
Yeah.
But I swear that I thought I. What?
I thought it tasted like Doritos or something. I was gonna say Doritos.
No.
Yeah.
Fail.
Who's next?
You're next.
Four.
Pumpkin pie.
Hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, that one was good.
Cinnamony.
Because of the cinnamon.
It was good.
It did.
I don't have any burn.
I mean, it was good relative to the other ones.
I don't think it tasted like pumpkin, though. It tasted like cinnamon.
Yeah. But I'm surprised I didn't throw up with this one because.
Yeah, that actually sounds grosser. Well,
both of them. Yeah. I mean, but like. What's that one? Awful.
So I believe this one's barbecue.
Oh. I like barbecue
bacon.
Sauce. Oh,
bacon.
That's why. I hate bacon.
Bacon I love bacon, soda. But that was a terrible soda.
I think if I had to rank order these,
I think this is the grossest.
I think maybe that one's the grossest. That one is definitely second grossest. Let me take
another sip of it.
I didn't mind the ranch
don't
one.
Do it to yourself.
It may be a toss up.
I didn't mind
the bacon
one.
Wasn't bad.
If I tried either of those again, I'd probably blow.
Yeah.
It doesn't taste like bacon.
Yeah. It just kind of tastes like a...
It's almost like chocolate.
I'm out.
You're done. You need to continue.
You need to push these on, like, people wandering by. Like,
yeah.
Be like, free student, free shake, sodas for med students.
You know what would be great is if we just set them out on the interviewee...
Yeah.
The med school interviewee table.
Enjoy a soda.
With a bowl of...
Like Sprite, like, labeled the
ranch. Yeah, you could even put, like, pretzels in here.
Oh, free soda.
This is Iowa hospitality.
That
one would be good because the people everyone would think it would be orange soda.
Yeah.
It looks like Fanta. Yeah.
I will admit that when I bought these, I may have had three beers at the time.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
So, yeah, I want to thank you for putting up with that. I know it had nothing to do with our usual content, but I just could not help myself.
Fantastic.
And I have periodically over the years thought about doing things like this when I have read about strange foods or... You know, there was the folks who, you know, you can buy insects to eat and things like that. And I've thought about it over the years.
There's a new product. It's made completely of insect protein, but it doesn't look like insects. It's just like tofu has. You can't tell
like
that it's soybean.
There's a girl.
They've powdered and somehow purified the insect protein, so it's edible, and people say that it actually tastes pretty good.
Well, that's actually a force for good, right?
Yeah.
Because,
right.
You know, you're trying to, you know, increase the consumption of protein. You're trying to eliminate the consumption of types of proteins that are bad for the environment, bad for the planet, you know, bad for people, maybe all this kind of stuff. Lester's Fixins, though.
Lester's
I'm gonna write him a note.
Lester's Fixins, proud Lester's Fixins company. I don't think they've. I don't think they've achieved their aims.
I like how they have to put the word artificial on the soda. You know?
Where?
It says it, look.
It is? Oh, artificial bacon soda.
That,
you know what's great is mine does not say artificial.
Neither does mine.
Jelly, which
mine is actually ranch dressing diluted in carbonated water.
Oh, geez, that's terrifying.
That's so awesome.
Wait, speaking of insects, you can eat, like, fireflies. They sell them, and they make your mouth glow. Have you ever seen that?
Oh, yeah, I've seen.
Well, there's a girl, though, that I knew last year had, like, a giant thing of cockroaches and crickets delivered to her house, and then she just put them in the oven, and she made everything with that and, like, put up dates. And it's like, can't really taste it unless you look at it.
You just need to watch that scene in Disney's Lion King when they're eating all the bugs the crunchy ones and they make it look really tasty. As a kid, I may have
dabbled.
Did you give
dabbled?
It a try? Was it delicious?
No.
I think I know what I'm going to be doing tonight after my second beer.
Watching Lion King, eating bugs,
or perhaps ordering bugs.
Yeah. Oh my gosh! Yeah, you can do that.
I'm not coming next week.
We'll be back in just a second on the Short Coat Podcast. Well, I'm excited to begin my weekend. Absolutely, I want to thank our listeners for joining us. I do. Because without you, I would be nothing. We would be nothing. Well, you guys would be doctors. I would be nothing. If you like what you heard today on the Short Coat Podcast, leave us a review or some stars or something on iTunes or Stitcher. Send us something disgusting to eat.
Please.
You can do that. What did you think of today's show? Tell us at theshortcoat.com, on Twitter, on Facebook. Lots of ways to get in touch with us. But if you leave us a voicemail, I can play on the air by calling 347-SHORT-CT. That's 347-746-7828. If I like what I hear, I'll send you a Starbucks gift card. I got one left. The show is made possible by the strange world we live in and a generous donation by Carver College of Medicine, Student Government, and the Writing and Humanities Program. Our executive producer is Jason Lewis. Our Corey. Our intern is Corey Christensen.
Every podcast got one.
Our opening music is by Dr. Box, and our closing music is by C2C. Talk to you in a week.